So what time's that? And I was like, had you been on the call where we arranged it, you would have known. And
Jason beat him. Jason did beat him. Wow.
Of course.
Good man, Jason. You beat him.
As is, of course, the tradition.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and in this episode, we are going to continue our conversation about our predictions for the 53-man roster. Last week, we talked about who we think is going to make the team on offense. This week, we're going to talk about the defense. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. We have with us talking today Jason, James, and Wesley. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Good to be back. It's been so long.
Yeah. Oh, and Stella or somebody. Or Jax. It's probably Jax.
Both.
So wait, we're not getting together to talk about it's been 246 years since America defeated Great Britain and announced our independence. This is not what we're doing today.
Oh, that's our final thoughts where we're going
to gotcha.
Shit all over James. We invited James. So surprise, it's a sabotage episode where we rub it in your face that you are 0-1. We are 1-0. Yes, this is our 4th of July celebration episode. What better way than to talk about defense? Because no one is better about defending their freedom than America.
Wow. Do I have to eat fried fish for this?
Oh, yes. Oh. For those of you who don't know, one of the earliest episodes of the Dome Patrol podcast, I'm going to say season like 2 or 3 back in 2012 or something, Jason was at his camp. We recorded this at like 1 in the morning for some reason, piss ass drunk. And Jason, while recording, shoved I don't know how much fried fish in his cold fried fish because it was, you know,
it had been cooked during the day and it was sitting.
So he's scooping the whole whoa, whoa, whoa. We're like, what's going on? He's like, I'm eating fried fish. We're like, what? Fried fish? I'm eating fried fish. And so forever, if you're a longtime listener, you will probably remember us making fried fish jokes for the past 7 years, and that's what it dates back to.
If anybody listening right now heard that episode live, I want them to tweet us or send a message. I'd really like to hear what they're doing with their life and how sad they are.
Hashtag fried fish.
Hashtag get ready to get one from Neil.
July. Right. Yeah. Neil was definitely the listener there. He might not listen now. All right. Let's get into our predictions for the defense. Like we did last week, we're going to go position by position. I think let's start with the defensive line and we'll work our way toward the secondary. Starters, as it might stand right now, Cam
let's
Jordan.
Let's do secondary last.
Onyemata.
Can we do secondary last? That's like the most.
That's what I meant. So linebacker. Working your way to, well, because okay, if you start with the
towards
line,
the secondary.
Then you go. Yeah, there you go. It's a progression. All right. So here, what we have, Cam Jordan, Onyemata, Shai Tuttle, Davenport, Peyton Turner.
Granderson.
Talked about Taco.
I think
Granderson.
Roach Clip.
Passanion. Roach Clip is in here too, huh?
Well, what we had talked about is like what we'd done last week is had our ones that are for sure making it. So Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport, Turner, Passanion, Onyemata, Tuttle, and Granderson. You kind of get into debating Jordan Jackson, Catavius Street, Malcolm Roach, Albert Huggins, and Taco Charlton. To me, those are your debates.
Yeah.
All right. I agree that those are, yeah. So the locks, I agree with. I've got them written down as like the first six.
Jordan, Davenport, Turner, Passanion, Onyemata, Tuttle, and Granderson.
Yeah, that's seven. Sorry. Seven.
Yeah, that's the seven locks I had.
Okay.
And then I've seen people keeping 9 or 10, depending on what you're going to do. We got Jordan Jackson, Catavia Street, Malcolm Roach, Albert Huggins, and Taco Charlton is 5 up in the air.
Right. Jackson was 6th round pick?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would lean towards...
Jaleel Johnson as well. There's another one you've
missed. Yeah, he's in there because he's got some time in the league.
Okay, yes. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I would lean towards Jackson because he's a draft pick, but, I mean,
does someone have a pet bird sitting on their desk?
You can hear that? I'm outside.
Yes, I can hear that. It sounds like the bird is like translating for you.
No, that's the linebackers.
Look up here. You guys.
Remember me.
That's odd. I thought that would be big news.
You thought what would be big news?
Well, there seems to be an absence of a certain ornithological piece. A headline regarding mass awareness of a certain avian variety.
What are you talking about?
Oh, have you not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't!
How many bird jokes can you make?
He said, don't get us started.
I think too many is probably the right answer there.
This isn't a pelican
pun. Oh, you know what they say? Two birds in the hand is as good as one. Jason, look up. Do you see that plane? You know how you can tell it's a male plane?
No.
The two little balls. It's in the Three Amigos when he goes.
Sorry.
He's like, you see that plane? You know, you can tell it's a male plane.
Been years since I saw that movie.
You were just quoting Three Amigos.
Well, I know. But I didn't remember that quote. All right. Back on track here. So you got 7 that you say you're locking in and carrying forward. If you're going to bring 9 or 10.
I'm thinking
that's what we're
going to
talk about.
I'm thinking we keep 9.
I'm also going to say that we keep 9, but everybody can have their own point of where they want to go.
Yeah.
Yep. I have 9 too.
Yep.
So, and you're saying your extra 3 then will be Street, Jackson, and Roach?
That's our extra 2, Jeff. That's the way the math works. 2 plus 7 equals 9. You remember that?
The debatable 2 of the 5 9, between Jackson, 10. Street, Roach, Huggins, 10. And Charlton.
Oh.
I'm carrying 10.
Oh.
Okay. See, that's what I'm saying. So, Jeff is keeping 10. Some people are keeping 10. You just copied Underhill's roster, didn't you?
Yeah. No,
I think he's keeping 10 defensive linemen.
Then he's smart.
Yeah. I can tell you who I'm not keeping. I'm not keeping Taco Charlton.
I'm with you there.
It's our 4th first round pick. We got 4 first round picks this year, starting with the team.
Keyword starting with the team.
Can he? If do you cut him or do you send him to the practice squad? What do you?
I don't think he's practice squad
eligible.
He was drafted in the 1st round like 6 years ago.
Yeah, no. He's cut.
I don't know how that works. All right. So that was easy. Let's talk about your linebackers then.
Confused? So I didn't even say who I was keeping. I'm keeping Jordan Jackson and Catavia Street. I'm cutting Malcolm Roach, Albert Huggins.
Oh, see, I thought y'all said that already.
No, we never. That's what I'm saying. We were just kind of like discussing how we were gonna put it on the show is what it sounded like.
I'm keeping Jackson and I'm keeping Roach just because I like the possibility of having more Roach clips. Yeah.
Street and Jackson are the 2 I'm keeping.
I like Jason's approach.
I mean, that's...
My favorite thing to do when I'm high is everything, but if I had to choose...
Yeah, I think, Jason, you make a lot of sense with Jackson being a...
Being a draft pick, I would think they're going to make every... You know, if he's comparable to these guys, I would think they would lean towards keeping him.
Yeah.
Isn't Contavious Street the one that broke Drew Brees?
Yes.
He is, isn't he? Yeah, he's the one that nearly killed him.
There's a lot going on. We're keeping a lot of huge men that can play inside and outside. So I think we could see some pretty interesting things, specifically with what we call our NASCAR package, which is 4 guys that can all blitz after the quarterback on, you know, sure passing downs.
Is that when they all stand up as well?
You've got, yeah. So, I mean, they have done that. So you've got guys like Passignon and Onyemata and Granderson and even Marcus Davenport and Contavious Street that have all played defensive end and get moved into defensive tackle pretty regularly. And we're really starting to look all the way across, specifically in defensive line and in the safeties and cornerbacks, guys that can play in every position and really confuse a quarterback. which we Dennis Allen, we always talk about how he loves to have that kind of defense.
Can you see Cam Jordan moving inside more this year?
No.
No, you still think he's going to stay on the edge?
Yeah.
Okay. That answered that one.
All right. Let's talk about some linebackers now. So
you got three,
I know
three
you got sure DeMario Davis on the bubble.
I think there's three locks here at linebacker.
Okay. Yeah. Davis, Werner, and
Caden Ellis.
Caden Ellis.
All right.
I actually had a fourth lock. Okay. I had DeMarco Jackson as a lock.
Because he's a draft pick?
I mean, yeah, but at least I'm consistent.
How many are you carrying?
Six.
Okay. Yeah, I was only gonna carry five.
I was also only gonna carry five. And this was kind of the last place where I made a decision about going with six here.
Okay.
So I'm keeping DeMarco Jackson. I am keeping him. I think he's going to have to actually beat out somebody and look good. And he's also going to have to learn to play special teams at a high clip. Andrew Dowell is staying for me. He's not going to play linebacker, but he is a fantastic special teamer. And then my sixth one, I kind of jumped all around between there's Zach Bond there. There's somebody like, you know, Joe Schobert who tried out for us. And my sixth linebacker is going to, by starting day, is Quan Alexander.
Ooh.
I think he gets brought back in somehow. I think that something happens with Bond. There's maybe that they didn't want Schobert or one of these other guys. Even if Quan comes, he might be coming in because DeMarco Jackson is good enough to be on the roster, but they don't want him active for game days, stuff like that. So that's my sixth linebacker, is Quan Alexander.
So my sixth.
I didn't know we were allowed to do that, huh?
No, nor me. My sixth linebacker is Eric Wilson.
And that was my other one I would have debated with.
For sure. Yeah, Eric Wilson's my sixth linebacker.
Definitely a special teamer. But do you have him and Dowell both? I mean, because they're going to.
Yes.
I mean, that puts him down to DeMarco Jackson. Really leaning into Davis and Werner and Ellis staying healthy. I mean, we're typically probably going to play two linebackers at a time. Maybe a lot of times just Davis with a bunch of safeties and cornerbacks. But
that was why I went that way, because of what we can do with safety. Yeah.
Makes sense. We definitely got a few safeties and cornerbacks that play like they want to play like they're small linebackers. So
I'm kind of thinking Bond gets cut.
Yeah,
I wouldn't complain.
I mean, I don't know if he's somebody that can be swapped for anything, and or if there's a sixth round pick out there that he would be, and if anybody would give for him. I think he's somebody that can be. I don't think it's a Zach Bond problem. We drafted somebody out of position. And he's never, for us, played the position that he was successful at in college.
Often one preseason game.
Right. And he did have an amazing preseason game last year where he looked like he was the next greatest linebacker in football, defending passes and attacking runners. And I don't know, it was crazy. But
two sacks, I think, as well.
I mean, unless he moves strictly to special teams. That's an option. If for him to make the roster, I would think it'd have to be pretty much special teams.
Jason, who did you have out of Davis, Werner, and Ellis after them? DeMarco Jackson.
I didn't have any of these guys on my list because I didn't know who they were. So they were not draft picks, so I didn't.
You kept four linebackers.
Well, I had four locks, and then I put down a list of players, and I'm looking at the list now, and like, shit, I only have Bond as the other one. So I guess I had Bond as
the only season ticket holder on the show.
Andrew Dowell, it'll be hard to not have him on the team as a special teamer. He's a great special teamer.
He is really good.
Then that's my guy.
Perfect. Old.
That was easy.
Hot into this, eh?
Right.
Okay. All right, so do you want to split the secondary up between cornerbacks and safeties, or you just want to talk about the entire secondary as a unit?
So there's two ways to look at it. One is it's easier probably to split them, but let's have a really quick conversation. I'm considering C.J. Gardner-Johnson to be a cornerback. Some people are putting him under safety. So we just needed to agree of what we're calling C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
He is a cornerback.
Yeah, I would call him a corner.
He's a nickel, a nickel
back, and you can maybe you have a special position for that then, right? You have
he is our
here's our announcing our music guest nickel, of the week, guys. Live. Nickelback.
You know, that's not even Nickelback. That's more like Pearl Jam. I don't know.
Creed. That was Creed.
That sounded very much like Creed.
Leave it to all the bands that everybody hates. Nickelback and Creed. That's
what just got. Wait, people hate those bands?
I don't know why people hate Nickelback. Nickelback is better than you think.
They're not from Britain.
The hate for Nickelback is so misplaced. There's a whole other show on that. All right. Yes.
Oh, just yes. Next right. Monday, we will not July 11th,
back on the 4th of July episode. Yeah.
Just a quick one.
I tell you, enjoy some Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Why the hate for Creed? Just out of interest. Why the hate for Creed? I mean, I'm not a big fan, but why right. do they? Why are they hated?
Why the hate back then when they were popular, or why now? Because the guy's an idiot now. He's done a bunch of really
the lead singer.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah. He's,
right.
He's,
okay.
He's a pretty weird guy. Scott
okay.
Stipe, is that his name?
He's no Scott, Chris Scott Stapp. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Just
so
just
let's divide it: cornerback and safety. Let's call C.J. Gardner-Johnson a cornerback.
Yeah. All right, let's roll.
And I think I think our cornerbacks is going to be a really quick discussion.
All right.
So I've got six cornerbacks.
Lock them in.
Marshawn Lattimore, Adebo, Alonte Taylor, Bradley Roby, C.J. G.J. and P.J.
I'd say I have P.J. in my safeties.
Oh, do we need that conversation then?
I think PJ is your starting safety when Marcus May is out with his suspension.
Okay.
For allegedly driving while drinking. Allegedly.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I didn't. Okay. Well, yeah.
So, but. Yeah.
Those are my cornerback, six
cornerbacks. I think that my five cornerbacks, I think, are flat out lock. I don't know why you would have another. I mean, besides like PJ, that's going to go back and forth. But Lattimore, CJ, GJ, Adebo, Roby, and Taylor. That's
locked. On that's my list.
Probably the best cornerback room in the league. Right? Can't think of a better one.
I mean, we need to see what Adebo does in his second year, and if Taylor is. I mean, I don't want to get too crazy after.
What about Daniel Sorensen? Does he make your list for special
he would be in the safety. He would be in the safety discussion for sure.
Oh shit, sorry. Well, you brought up Marcus May and you threw me off. All right.
Yep.
And then you move PJ up to safety.
He is a safety.
So have you got five cornerbacks then?
I have five cornerbacks, and then leads into I have five safeties because we're going for 53 people here.
We are.
See, yeah, I had those five, and then I had Gray, Matthew, May. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah.
In that order.
I mean, I don't know. It's just those are the nine that I had jotted down as lock. Like I had all those guys as 100% locks.
To get Marcus May and JT Gray.
Is he going by Vincent Gray this year? Can we go ahead and talk about this? I don't know what's going on. His name is Vincent Gray. Somebody else.
He's been hanging out with Deontay Hardy.
I keep seeing the Vincent Gray written on some things everywhere. But no, I think that your four locks are JT Gray, Matthew May, and PJ. Bryce Thompson is almost a fifth lock the way he played the past month. If he keeps that up, and then your cuts or people that you could argue about is Daniel Sorensen as a special teams player but listed as a safety, Justin Evans and Smoke Monday.
Yeah, I've put Sorensen in my 53 because of his special teams.
Yeah, I had to make a decision between him and a linebacker, basically. And I decided to keep Dowell and Jackson and Ellis as kind of my special team linebackers and get rid of Sorensen. I chose one of them over him.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if Smoke goes nuts in training camp, if he forces his way on the team.
I mean, again, there's a reason that guy was paid a really high signing bonus, and the type of football where he's going to make a name for himself is not what we've seen in training camp and all that. That's going to be when real training camp starts.
Yeah, when the pads go on.
When the pads go on, he's a physical guy that hits people and riles people up. He's another CJ GJ. He goes after the ball. Like when we see actual 11-on-11 plays with pads is when we figure out if Smoke Monday has got a place to carve out on this team.
The one I think that
I can't wait for the "you got smoked" stuff. I'm gonna make a shirt. Go ahead, James.
Speaking I think the one who could get into the safety discussion if he's fit is Justin Evans.
I mean, the guy, talent wise and physicality and all, is a second round pick, and it was undebated whether or not he deserved to be in the top two rounds of the draft. He's never been healthy though, so I mean,
he'll fit right in. it's perfect, and now he gets to go to Ochsner doctors. Oh, this is going to be great.
He failed his physical in 2020, and then what I'm reading here.
Effectively retired, didn't he? Didn't he effectively retire, or kind of was just released by the Bucks because he was permanently injured?
So look at his history. It's 2017 sign. All right, 2017 IR, 2018 IR, 19 IR. Is this right?
Yeah. No, he gets
2020.
Well,
pup list,
he
waived.
One of the big IRs was for 2 years. Like he was hurt very bad and missed. I don't think he, in that 2 years, like attempted to come back. He was permanently IR'd. So.
Oof. It's essentially what Michael Thomas has been for the last 2 years.
Oh, well, then he's going to be great. The best ever. All right. So that's your, you've kind of nailed, I can't even list out it because you've all got a couple of different picks here and there. You got different stuff there. But I guess the next question to ask, so you talked about a couple of tight races in the last couple of positions. Who would you all say, and maybe like for, let's talk about it like from last week. Who was your toughest cut last week? Who was your toughest cut this week? Who was your toughest cut overall? You can answer all three questions. You can answer one question. James, we'll start with you.
It was Malcolm Roach for me.
Overall?
Yeah. That was the toughest one for me to leave out.
Because you've seen him and you've seen Roach clips.
Yeah.
And well, it's hard to imagine.
He was decent last year. The whole D-line was decent. And he was part of it.
So why are you going to cut him?
Because I think we might have upgraded defensive line.
Last year, he got to play more because Onyemata missed so much time. If Onyemata is going to be healthy and play all year, I mean, Malcolm Roach really has what is a very deep backup role behind somebody who doesn't really take off that many plays. And when Onyemata does take off plays, it's for a role that Malcolm Roach doesn't necessarily fill. It's when Tuttle moves over and somebody else is going over to the other side. It's just he's there for if Onyemata gets hurt somewhere in the preseason, Malcolm Roach is making the team. We went into this saying that everybody's healthy.
Yeah.
And I mean, he wasn't used very much last year after Onyemata came back.
I mean, I kind of like where you're alluding to, James, is that, yes, if he was decent last year, this year decent isn't good enough. And that speaks pretty highly of where you believe our defense will be, and probably and rightfully so with the lineup that you've chosen.
Well, the defensive line has been stellar for 3 years now, particularly, you know, against the run, they've been sensational.
Yeah, I mean, I hated losing Malcolm Brown because of that. But us staying in the top two the last 3 years with as run defense after losing Malcolm Brown, like because we all like all of us are like, well, damn it, there goes the run defense.
Yep,
is incredible. It's I mean, really talks about the coaching over there, but also our system.
All right. Well, Wesley, toughest cut overall all of them.
Probably, I mean, last week kind of. Toughest cut, I'm going to say, is my mind just went blank. What's the
position?
The big tight end.
Big tight
Kroll?
End.
Lucas Kroll?
No, I'm keeping him.
Juwan Johnson?
Juwan Johnson, yeah. Juwan Johnson was my toughest cut last week, and he was my toughest cut because I like Juwan Johnson, and Vinette is old, but I don't think we can get rid of Vinette, and Troutman, I just think they have too much invested in. On the other side, last week, my toughest keep is Traquan Smith. That's maybe a weird spin of toughest keep. I would love to have Rashid Shaheed, Aesop Winston, or Dejon Dixon just go off and be that speed receiver and show too much to be cut. I just don't think that's really even debatable that we're going to keep Tre'Quan Smith. I mean, if he's healthy throughout the preseason, I hate that because I think he is what he is. He's never going to be probably better.
I think he's better than people give him credit for.
Sure. I just think that some of those other guys can, I mean,
statistically, his statistics, when you zoom out and look at his statistics, he's not, he doesn't deserve the hate.
My thing with him is he is probably your number four or number five receiver. His numbers have looked better than that because he's been playing as our number two receiver for his career, and he's not that. So, I mean, again, if everything else works out, I'm completely at peace with him being our fifth. I just would hope somebody else comes up. This week, Malcolm Roach was a tough cut. I kind of came down. It was, to me, either Malcolm Roach or Jordan Jackson. I think Jordan Jackson is staying. And then my other one is, I really debated back and forth between the linebacker, and whether it was Bond or somebody like Joe Schobert or Eric Wilson. And that's why I probably went way off the board and picked Quan, just because I couldn't make a decision between those other guys. So it's probably what led me to Quan, is that I really couldn't make a decision between those other guys. So I just cut all of them.
Sweeping cut. Right?
All right, Jason, who was your toughest cut?
My toughest cut was overall Nick Vanette. Because I do think he's the one veteran. I mean, look, our tight end room is pretty shit. If that's a weak room, there's a weak room on the team. It's the tight end spot. He's the guy that's got the most experience. He's the best blocker of the bunch. But
it sounds like he,
you know, I just think somebody's gonna, maybe like both Juwan and Kroll have outstanding preseasons, training camps, preseasons, and it just makes Vanette expendable. So it's kind of more the expectations or maybe the hope I have for the other two guys than it is Vanette. I just think he's going to be the odd man out.
All right. That's overall.
I mean, this week, I mean, I don't know that I had a tough cut per se. One of the linebackers that I didn't know, maybe one of those guys.
Kentavious Street. Actually, yeah, you're not keeping Street because you kept Malcolm Roach instead.
Right.
Yeah. And your reasoning for doing so was sound.
Well, yeah. Plus, it was sound. Plus, Street destroyed Breeze. So fuck him. So bye bye.
Maybe that's why we brought him in, just so we can cut him. Is he gonna bring me? Actually, we have a special guest here to cut you, and it's number nine, Drew Breeze. All right.
So, what about you, Jeff?
I don't know. I didn't participate in this. I just asked the questions. But
okay.
The listeners, thank you.
I'm doing you a favor. I've improved by not having opinions.
So are you shocked by any of the cuts that we've made?
I think the tight end situation, when y'all talk about, like, to me, it's kind of, you brought Vanette in from Denver this year. And what you just said, Jace,
last year,
you say he's the best blocker on the team. You say he's got the veteran leadership. That might be enough to keep him. Even if, like, Juwan Johnson can catch better. And then a point you made, Wesley, on last week's show, you said something like, well, last year, like, give Juwan a pass, that last year was his first year as a tight end. And so he had to learn how to play the position. Well, it's fine. This year is his second year as a tight end. He still has the same amount of lesser experience than, say, Nick Vanette does. So he'll always be lesser experience. I'm sure somebody can get better, they're younger or whatever, but that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Like, a position battle is the tight end position battle this year in the preseason, which leads me to my next question for you all is, what are the position battles that we should track throughout this year's preseason and talk about on our shows? Because you do have, I mean, clearly, like, QB is not going to be a position battle. Running back, probably not worth.
Oh, no. Running back for sure is. I think running back and tight end are the top two.
Oh, you
think so? I think those are the top two.
Why? Well, because y'all said, Kamara, Ingram,
but there's so many questions. I mean, to me, there's just a lot of questions. Is Kamara suspended? How much does Ingram have left? I mean, that's behind him. It's a crapshoot.
Okay. Interesting take on that. Yeah. Well, I guess I was looking at more for, like, position, those tight position battles, like Vanette versus Juwan. Like, who are the versus
left tackle
on the bubble?
Left tackle be a big battle.
Not that, I mean, whoever wins I'm okay with, to be honest. But
yeah, whoever loses isn't being cut, which I think, no. Jeff, you were asking, like, what are the position battles for making the roster, not starting,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So, the running back one's interesting because, I mean, you've got, I mean, Kamara is going to miss games this season. And so behind him, you've got Abram Smith, a rookie that's played running back for a year in college. Dwayne Washington, who is not here to play running back. He's a special teamer. And Mark Ingram, who has two decent seasons in the history of his NFL career after he was overdrafted in the first round. I mean, we got to find somebody that can play running back when Kamara misses.
And Tony Jones Jr., is he a runner? Is he an NFL?
Yeah. And then are we giving up on him?
Well, I'm going to pull a page out of your own playbook and say that running back is not on the team yet. And they're going to pull somebody in at some point.
We also have Ozigbo.
Listen, there was a super interesting.
And you also trade. Say what you said about Mark Ingram, but he is the Saints' all time leading rusher.
I think I know which trade you're going to say, Wesley, by the way.
Yeah. Pretty awesome trade that was put in. I think by PFF that they're putting out, saying a trade that every team should make, saying that the Saints should trade for Kareem Hunt from the Browns. And let me tell you a trade that I'd be happy with us making.
Bourbon Street.
Kamara and Hunt. One, nobody's going to fight either one, the two of them, when they're hanging out together.
No,
we know that they're down to party. But we're talking about the Browns having D'Ernest Johnson now. They have too many running backs, and it'd be pretty awesome to get Kareem Hunt and throw him in the Saints' backfield. I'm all about that.
That'd be a big time upgrade. Now I know Hunt wants to get paid though, right?
I mean, he can come earn that here. He's got six games where he's going to be a starting running back for us. We're over there, he's only a starter if their starter's hurt.
Yeah,
I like the way you're thinking here.
Yes, is Nick Chubb, D'Ernest Johnson, and Kareem Hunt, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a crowded backfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on down.
Yeah, I'd take that.
All right. So the position battles we have for left end, tight end, running back is a position to watch, not necessarily a battle for, but I'll leave it on the list. Let's see. I mean, the receiver, are you looking at, I mean, Wesley, you brought up Traquan. I mean, wide receiver is going to be Traquan versus, I mean, it's almost like in each one, who is the position battle, right? Traquan,
week, the wide receiver position battle is going to be something to talk about because wide receivers, specifically speedy wide receivers, show out in training camp and in the preseason because they're going against cornerbacks that shouldn't be in the league. And I'm telling you right now, Jameis is going to want to get on tape that he can put the ball down the field. He's want to practice making long throws. So there's going to be a couple of receivers that will be cut that are going to have massive yards. We might have a receiver on our team lead the whole league in the preseason receiving yards and get cut. I mean, don't be surprised if, you know, Shahid or Dejon Dixon leads the NFL preseason in receiving yards.
Do you think there's any danger that because of Deontay Harty's contract situation, anything happens with him this offseason in terms of not being cut, but
I mean, if he hadn't made his statement, then I'd be worried, but he came out and said the right things that he's here to, I mean, essentially earn that contract. And
yeah,
I mean, he showed up on time. So I don't think we're necessarily in fear of him causing a problem.
But then if one of these guys comes in and shows they're the deep threat,
right,
they're going to be cheap for 4 years. We then try and move him on. I mean, he's in my 53, you know, but there's
Jason,
a chance of that.
Jason just said it, trade him to the Browns for Kareem Hunt. I mean, I'm not going to hurt my feelings with that one.
No. No, definitely right. Not.
So I've got a wide receiver, watch Traquan versus anybody. Linebacker, Bond versus Jackson versus Dowell. Defensive tackle, Roach versus Street.
Versus Alexander.
First Alexander. When he joins the team, I'll spring him in there.
Put him on the list.
Yeah, yeah. Left end, who were you thinking, James, when you said that?
You mean left tackle.
Oh, he said left end.
Penning
versus Hurst. And that's to who's going to start because they're both making the 53.
Okay.
Well, yeah, and I mean, again, we're talking about starting. There's going to be a battle between Paulson and Debo, Bradley Roby, and Alante Taylor. And everybody real quick is not talking about Bradley Roby being in that the battle.
Because we're trading right now, him for Kenyon Drake.
he is going to be there battling to be the number two cornerback. And I really believe the Saints are not doing anybody a favor of like, well, you were drafted here or you have this experience. One of the three of them that plays the best is your starting cornerback.
Yeah, well, you've probably seen the stat on Twitter that Roby's got the fifth highest pass breakups since 2017 in the league. Lattimore higher was second. Than Lattimore. No, sorry, no, Roby was second, wasn't he? Lattimore was, yeah. So, you know, he can play.
All right, and then I got, let's, for safety, let's look at Smoke Monday to see how he turns out.
Just for his name alone.
Just for his, yeah.
Could we have Roach and Smoke do a podcast with us one day on April 20th.
That would be great.
Yeah. All right.
They could be on the practice squad together.
And then last question. Actually, I have a hypothetical to run by y'all after too, but who is the last cut that you made? So you have number 54. Who's number 54 for you?
Nick Van Ed is number
54. Or is that the first cut then?
I mean, it's kind of like the same thing as asking what was our toughest cut.
Well, no, I think toughest. Well, maybe you've approached it that way, but I like feel like James approached it more like it was hard for me to cut Roach because of how much I care or how close that is. But the last cut that you made, oh yeah, I guess that is kind of the same question. It's
how hard. You know, is it? I've heard though that the first cut is the deepest.
All right, so my hypothetical is, so I saw somebody tweet about Barkley and talking about trading for Saquon and how great he is, and they actually compared him to Kamara even and saying something how he's younger and whatever they said about him, and it got me to think, like, hypothetically, is there ever a universe where you would trade Alvin Kamara for Saquon Barkley, and if so, what else would the Giants have to give you? Or would you be like, no, because of like last week you were talking about how much you love Alvin Kamara and he's an alien. And but what if you could get Barkley this year instead of worrying about those six games? Would you betray Kamara?
I would not.
And for what?
No, I wouldn't.
Well,
it's not just about this season as well.
What if it's Barkley in a fourth round pick?
No, doesn't matter.
Barkley in a third.
Nope.
Barkley in a second.
Nope.
Sparkly in a first.
Probably
the giant. The Giants.
Gotcha now.
It's going to be a pretty high first.
Yes, yeah. If it's the Giants, Barkley and two firsts for 20 next year and the year after.
Done.
Okay. Yep. So you son of a bitch, you're a traitor. So,
everybody's got a price.
I'm just trying to find out where your price is.
not necessarily big on Barkley. I don't know if he's ever going to be healthy through a season. He's got tons of problems. I think this next year.
Well, when's the last time Alvin Kamara's played a full season?
2 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
He only missed games one season out of his whole career. Now, it was the first time he had to be more of a feature back.
Wait, if he hasn't played a full season in 2 years, then that means
two years ago was the last time he played a full season. He's only had 1 year where he's missed games, right? It's just last year. He
missed one game with COVID last year, I think.
He was injured last year.
Yeah, I thought he had an injury.
Yeah, he definitely had an injury last year.
And
yeah,
COVID an not 2 years ago? No?
Was his knee not last? Oh, I'm getting confused.
Yeah, I think that was last year.
He did have strip club COVID.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to say now I wouldn't trade Alvin Kamara for any other running back in the league.
Actually, games played. All right, he has not played a full season since his rookie year. He played 16. In 2018, he missed a game. In 2019, he missed two games. In 2020, he missed a game. 2021, he missed three games. Four games.
The 2018 game would have been a last game of the season
that we didn't need
rest in the stars scenario. I think
either way, he has not missed nearly the games that Saquon Barkley has.
Okay,
I'll tell you who he's definitely better than. He's definitely better than Christian McCaffrey.
Well, I mean, he's healthier for sure. I can't wait for week four when the Panthers lose their season because McCaffrey gets another season in the end.
And let me just say that I understand what you're saying, James, but if we're talking about this Saints team, that has these receivers, there are multiple running backs in the NFL that I would trade Alvin Kamara for. I need a running back who can run the damn ball, not be a good runner and a really good pass catcher. I need a running back that can run over people and be a Jonathan Taylor on this damn team running over everybody. Like, you ain't putting your line, you're not bringing cornerbacks and safeties in to help out with those receivers. You got to keep linebackers in there to stop Jonathan Taylor from breaking it. And I just think I agree with what you're saying. I love Alvin Kamara on this team right here. You give me a bruising running back that has to be respected, even like, you know, Nick Chubb, Jonathan Taylor, some of those guys. I mean,
is Kareem Hunt not a downhill
runner? He's in everything, but we haven't seen him start. Like, and again, yeah, him and Chubb have benefited greatly by playing with each other the last couple of years.
Giggity.
So it's been good. I mean, even somebody like Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook catches the ball well, but he also runs between the tackles. He's a big, solid guy. I'm not saying Dalvin Cook I'd have to think about a lot more. And you know, like a Derrick Henry, that's an interesting – you put Derrick Henry in this backfield.
Jesus, I don't know how – yeah.
I mean, again, and you take and you give – you put Derrick Henry in an offense where he doesn't have to be handed the ball 30 times a game. I think that makes him more dangerous too. So
there's some – you give him 15 that's a discussion. Carries.
Yeah, you give me Jonathan Taylor, and I'm like, I appreciate all you've done for us, AK. Like, but yeah. I mean, it's that guy's what he's shown.
That makes the offense almost unstoppable.
I mean, yeah. What do you do? I mean, the one negative on our offense is that we need a running back who can run the ball through the tackles. I think Ingram's too old for that now. Like, he's more kind of going out for the screen pass and can pick up a blitz and will run okay, but. And that we're hoping that Abram Smith, he's saying he wants to run over linebackers. Yeah,
and also, I can't remember, but I just remember feeling like Jameis didn't check down as much as we would have wanted him to. Maybe that's because we're used to Drew Brees always checking down, but I felt like we complained a little bit about in the games that he did play that like Kamara's sitting there wide open and he wasn't throwing it to him. He was always trying to go to a receiver.
Well,
the last game they played together, he threw him 10 passes.
Well, and that was
so,
right. That's
so,
where
so
I
maybe that's like,
do I misremember right?
Now, having said that, we needed him to do that because we didn't have a wide receiver on the damn team that could catch or get open. So I mean, I don't know what made that more important. I mean, yes, we all like getting the ball in Kamara's hands however we can, but we also had no wide receivers. He was our best wide receiver. So it'd be interesting this year. I mean, we're going to be in some three wide receiver sets for basically the entire game with three of the best starting receivers in football. We need a running back that can run the ball.
So we're going to throw the ball, what, 30 to 40 times a game? Maybe more with this team?
I think we're going to look like we're going to throw the ball 40 times a game.
Yeah.
I think that we've got to – we need to be able to run the ball and –
So it was always Carmichael who wanted the pass, not Peyton. He's like, give me all the receivers.
I mean, there is going to be something that comes out of this that's like we have like our theoretical offense, right? With what the best of it is that we're making. And Carmichael could sit there and say, like, my intention is to run the ball exactly 50% of the time. But if Jameis, you know, if with his LASIK and a couple years of being behind Peyton and Breeze and a couple years of, or this last year of sitting out and getting his head right and all, if Jameis is theoretical Jameis, we might not run the ball too damn much. I mean, yeah. until we're up in a game by three touchdowns. I mean, if this all works in its best case scenario, nobody can stop it. I mean, we got three wide receivers that all can get open on their own, no matter who's guarding them. I mean, that's what Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave do, is they run insanely talented routes that make cornerbacks look dumb.
Yeah, Michael Thomas in his record-breaking year was double-teamed a lot of the time because they knew where the ball was going, and they still couldn't stop it.
Well, and the record he was breaking was for receptions and yardage in a career was Jarvis Landry's record. Now, I know you're talking about the reception record too, but he was breaking the record by his now teammate who looks – I mean, he looks like a college player the way he's running around and being athletic, and he's fired. That dude's fired up to make some money. He's playing for us for $3 million.
Yeah.
There's some pretty average receivers making 20 right now. I mean, Jarvis Landry is as motivated as a player can be.
Yep.
All right, final thoughts. Jason. James.
I wasn't expecting you to come to me then.
Jason, there he is. There's Jason.
I got nothing.
I hope that, you know, obviously today is July the 4th. I hope you all enjoy your celebrations, you ungrateful, treasonous bastards.
Excellent. And we're all coming to visit, man, a couple of months to yes. rub it in personally. Hope we're welcome.
Wait till you see your t-shirts.
All right. What about you, Wesley? Final thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, we kind of just started talking about it, but Robert Griffin III put a tweet out yesterday. We just kind of like talked about it a little bit, but Robert Griffin III put out a tweet last week that says Michael Thomas' return is the X factor of the Saints offense. Last time the two-time All-Pro and the two-time NFL leader in receptions played significant time was in 2019, and he was the best wide receiver in football. Thomas opening the middle of the field for Jarvis and Olave will help the Saints eat W's. First of all, please let's not bring this eat W's thing back. I hope that's over. But this is being undersold as a story by, and it's so funny that he puts this out, and then now so many different media people around the country are retweeting it going, this makes sense. That's so smart. It's been there. It's low hanging fruit that people are passing over, that the best offensive player in the entire NFL 2 years ago is back. And he looks good. He seems motivated.
We're assuming he's back.
He seems happy. Well, he is at a Saints training facility last month or this month, running and being with the team, and is tweeting about how happy he is with this team, how he's supporting his teammates. And this is, I mean, a huge story, and it opens up not only stuff for the Saints going forward with what we're paying him, but for these other receivers. And I mean, that's the key to where this, this whole thing can go. He may not lead the team in receptions this year. He may not lead the team in receiving yards. But what he's going to bring as an impact is going to open it up for the two players that do.
Come on, Michael right. Thomas.
Right. Let's have him do a I'm cleared tweet.
Ready for it.
Well, we might, but it'll be gibberish like most of his tweets are.
It'll be a
muscle emoji. All right. So that is all the show we have for you right now. I will note on this 4th of July, if you notice here in America, we say our dates like it's, you know, June 29th, 2022 or something like that, except for one day a year, we actually do it the British way, where we actually put the day first, 4th of July. And that is a very interesting thing. If you're on the British side, you say, ah, ha, ha, look at that. But if you're on our side, you say we do it just to rub it in a little bit more. So anyway, it's an interesting little thing about us. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Facebook. Look for Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on TikTok at Dome Patrol Prods with a Z, not an S. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Independence donkeys. America.